Fox Sports Radio. This is Straight Out of Vegas with the voice of Vegas, your host, RJ Bell. The pregame show America has always wanted. I doubt the future. I doubt the future. From the Vegas Strip, here's RJ Bell.
We start in the NBA where we got some bad news for the Los Angeles Lakers. DeMarcus Cousins, Boogie, as they call him, who signed a contract with the Lakers as a free agent this offseason, tore his ACL while working out in Las Vegas. So the question is, RJ, how much of a loss is that for the Lakers? What would Boogie have meant to that organization?
Steve Fezzik here, NBA originator. Let's talk about the marketplace first. Not your opinion, the Vegas marketplace. How has it reacted to the Cousins injury?
There has been no reaction, RJ.
Okay, so what was the number of wins? So we're going to use what, over-under wins?
Yeah, season win numbers that were posted on the Lakers prior to the injury.
Okay, so let's say 24 hours ago.
Yep.
The over-under regular season wins was?
50.5 for the Lakers.
All right, so they win 51. They exceed expectations 50. They fall short. And now?
It's still 50.5. There's been no movement.
Wow. Okay, now we're going to talk about your reaction, which is different. Think about this, guys. By definition, the only time you can bet is when you disagree with the market. So the market is right most of the time. And we use it as a gauge. But when Fezzik disagrees with the market, I want Fezzik's side. He has a mansion and a yacht. He hasn't worked a straight job since Prince was singing 1999. That means something. It's the proof is in the bankroll. So, Brad, I'll tell you this. You've only been in Vegas, 3 years now, right?
Yep.
But let's be candid. When you hear someone saying, how did he get hurt? Quote unquote working out in Las Vegas, that could mean many
yes,
things.
Yes, it could. A lot of different things.
But it looks like it was on the court.
It was on the court. What one source described as bumping knees with another player.
Well, that could be something else.
Yeah.
But okay. Now back to Fezzik. Market says Cousins irrelevant, doesn't move the needle. What does Fezzik say?
I say he's worth a half a point per game, and that doesn't sound like much, RJ, but if he...
Well, how many NBA players are worth half point per game by your estimate?
Oh, 100.
100. So three per team.
Yes.
So Van Vliet, was he on that list?
He was prominently on that list.
Okay. And you guys had a falling out.
We did.
And it's, you know, it's private. We don't try to get into the details, but let's just say vindictiveness... We were awash in vindictiveness. I think you're right. And I'm going to eat a little humble pie here. Hey, we take the bows. We got to take the booze. I thought the Lakers, the best move they made in the offseason, and obviously post-AD, best move, right? For sure. You can question how much they gave up, but I thought it was Cousins. And you might say, RJ, how could you know? Well, some of the things other people were saying was, well, he's so injury prone, it doesn't matter, he's not worth much. And my thought was, well, wait a minute, Achilles tears happen. And then if the only other thing, when he maybe came back a little early, was my thinking, and I think he did, you know, kind of gut it out in the playoffs for Golden State, I thought Cousins hurting his hammy wasn't necessarily a sign that, uh-oh, this guy's really injury prone. I thought it was one big injury, one not so big. Before that, there hasn't been many. Well, now it's kind of hard to say that he's not injury prone. So those who dismiss the Cousins signing due to the chance of him being injured were correct, it seems. I felt like it was a really good signing for the Lakers, which leaves what's left. If you take Cousins off the table, and I'm assuming, Brad, the assumption is out for the season?
Yep, that is the assumption.
Okay. If you look at who they signed and the money the Lakers spent, I'm not sure you can make the case, and I'm going to make this an open question. Make the case realistically, with vigor, not devil's advocate. I want to hear something you're willing to bet on. That one of the Lakers signings, one, was a good value. Danny Green was not a good value. Good player, but when you have a finite salary cap, it's about value.
Yeah, I thought you made a great point where, well, what are they paying him, $15 million? And you're like, hey, he's about a $10 million addition, so we paid extra if you're a Laker fan, but he helps the team.
Now, I also think at the time when he was like the last good player left, you know, I'll tell you this, when I used to go to the county fair and there was that last lemonade, even though, you know, we're the fresh squeezed lemonade, even though it was a little watered down, you still were rushing.
Had to have it.
You were rushing for that last lemonade.
Heck yeah.
I bet you loved that fair, didn't you?
I did love the fair.
Did you look up at the Ferris wheel and said, one day I'll be in the big city?
No.
And now here you are, the gigantic
Ferris wheel.
Ferris wheel
still
here.
Looking up at it.
Brad's still looking up at the Ferris wheel, dreaming. He's thinking, when I get married one day, I'm going to propose on top of that Ferris wheel.
I don't think so.
You want to commit right now? You're going to do that?
No.
Okay. So a lot of laughing, but nobody seems to be making a case that a single signing on the Lakers was a value signing. All right.
Other than Cousins at the time.
Exactly. Exactly. So to me, market says, at least in the first 4 hours, and sometimes it takes a little while, especially on something that's out of season like this. And you know what we'll do at the end of the show, last block, right around 6:50 Eastern, we'll do an update and tell you if the market's reacted. Now that Fezzik's told the country he thinks they should have, well, that does move the line. Let's be candid. We've moved the line. We've seen it multiple times. Real quick, though, I want to double back, Fez. A half point per game is 30 points in a season.
If you assume player plays about 60 games, which is pretty reasonable.
Which would be exactly 60, right? All right.
Yep.
How 60 games, 30 points... How many wins does that come out to?
It's about one win.
Okay. So you're saying the line should have went from where it is to
49.5.
All right. So 50.5 to 49.5. So think about that, Jonas. What's fascinating is you can extrapolate Vegas style. How much is this player in the NBA worth per game? How many games do we expect them to play? How many points does that calculate to on the season? And how many wins does that incremental amount of points equal? Fezzik's about as good as they come at that kind of math. He thinks Cousins was worth a win. At least now the betting market says nothing, no effect.
Straight out of Vegas!
Be sure to catch live editions of Straight Out of Vegas weekdays at 6 p.m. Eastern, 3 p.m. Pacific. On Fox Sports Radio and the iHeartRadio app.
Let's reiterate how unlikely it is that even an average NFL quarterback would throw 5 straight interceptions.
On 5 straight plays, 25 million to one.
And Jimmy G did. Answer.
We're talking about practice here, RJ. We're not talking about a game. We're not even talking about a scrimmage against another team. He's playing his own team. It's practice. It doesn't matter.
Okay. Interesting. So here's my natural question. Why practice then?
Well, I think in practice you can try some things that you wouldn't try in a game.
But since it's irrelevant, why try?
I think you can learn things from taking extra risks.
I thought it was irrelevant. Because if you succeed on a certain play, since the success of plays don't matter or lack thereof, what did you learn? Mm-hmm.
And let's put the shoe on the other.
Love clouds.
I think if the report was, hey, Jimmy G threw 5 touchdown passes on 5 consecutive passes, all deep balls. I mean, Fez be coming in here with his chest all puffed up. I love Jimmy G.
Fair enough. But it'd be like if you told me a bowler threw 3 gutter balls in practice. He's trying out a bigger hook. He's experimenting.
But let's be honest. Like we always say, and in a few minutes we're going to be talking about teams that lose their first preseason game are more motivated just because they don't want the narrative. They don't want the streak. This is literally the third, or was it the second topic on this show today? And I think Fezzik had something to do with it. But yep. Still, I mean, Jonas, you consume a ton of talk radio. I mean, only FSR, but is... This was certainly one of the top 5 topics today, right?
Yeah, it's a big deal. And it's also a big deal because people are starting to do the compare game with the Dak Prescott contract situation, saying, well, now that we're on the subject, is Jimmy Garoppolo worth all that money that he got a couple of years ago? And what is Dak asking for? So it's taken a turn like that as well, too.
Yeah, that's an interesting point. So to me, we're going to do a blind comparison with Jimmy G and another quarterback in a minute. Fez, let's talk. Now is a good time to do it. Let's talk about the 49ers in general, what you're thinking, what the win total is. But let me reiterate that point about when it happens once, when it happens twice, when it happens a third time, is the NFL, they don't want to, let's say, go 0-2 because now it's 0-3 and now it's a story, right? And now if you start the regular season 0-2, I mean, this seems crazy. But imagine you're a Houston. Coach has had some success, O'Brien, but not secure in his job.
Yep.
If Houston starts or goes, and I can't remember if they even won the first game, but listen, hypothetically.
Lost by 2.
Let's say they go 0-4 in the preseason. If they start the regular season 0-2, the narrative is so different than if they even go 1-3 in the preseason and start the regular season 0-2. Agree?
Yes.
So Jimmy G throws the first interception. Maybe he's just mucking around. Now, second interception. You're probably hearing some hoops and some hollers. By the fourth interception, I think I would have went down holding my knee. but I mean, let's not act like that he wasn't very much not wanting to throw it. In fact, I can't even believe he threw it anywhere near. I would have thrown it in the ground.
As would I.
I mean, so in a weird way, if it were a game, you would have to just, in theory, you would keep playing in practice, which doesn't effectively matter in some ways. The fact that there was a third, fourth, and fifth interception might be more of an indictment.
Well, confidence is clearly not an issue with Jimmy G, right?
Well, it isn't so far. We've seen what happened to Jake DeLone and Peterman.
5 interceptions.
But that was just in a half.
Yeah. We're talking 5 passes.
And they're still talking about that Charger game.
Exactly. All right. What do we think of the 49ers? We're talking to Steve Fezzik. I'm RJ Bell, straight out of Vegas. In general, what season win, et cetera?
Yeah. So the 49ers won 4 games last year. They've got an 8 for a season win number. I'm extremely optimistic about the 49ers. I bet over 8 wins. A big part of it was that Jimmy G went down after 3 games. So not only did they have to go with Beathard, but their number 2 quarterback got hurt. They had to go with Nick Mullins, their number 3 quarterback. The entire team, very injured team, and turnover-prone team, RJ. The 49ers were minus 25 in turnover differential. The wise guys will tell you that while turnovers are not random, they're largely non-predictive from one year to another. So why did San Francisco only win 4 games? Because of the excessive turnovers last year.
So let's talk about that. In general, if you win the turnover battle, you cover the spread 77% of the time in the NFL. +1, +2, whatever. So that is the number one predictor. I would care more about that even than this outgaining a team. You know what we should do is we should get a list of the various statistical victories you can have. More rushing yards, more net yard. And I would say winning the turnover battle is probably the number one predictor. Oh, yeah. But it is so random. There's such a random element to it. So to me, if you look at the 49ers, you can say, wow, there's a lot of randomness there that went against them. But let's be candid. That's assuming Jimmy G is a lot better than the quarterbacks that were playing instead of him the last 2 years under Shanahan. Do you believe that's the case, Fess?
I do. And my best evidence of it is, and we talked about this before, RJ, if you go back, not the last year Jimmy G only played 3 games, but the 2 years prior to that, Jimmy G only played 6 games in 2016 and 6 games in 2017. Amazingly, had he qualified to be amongst the top quarterback leaders in QBR, because you need a minimum number of starts, he would have been ranked number one in 2016 and in 2017 in QBR.
So you're saying if it only took 6 games to get ranked, that Jimmy G had the best season of all quarterbacks in each of the last 2 seasons?
Correct. And well, in 2016 and 2017. And then last year, he had a lousy QBR in the 3 games that he played.
Okay, so 16, we're going back to how many games did he play in 16?
Six games.
That doesn't sound right. For the 49 or for
New England?
He did not play 6 games.
He might have had mop-up duty in a couple of the games. He 6 games he played.
That's just impossible. Do you remember? Let's look this up. I want to see how many pass. You know what's funny? It's super convoluted to talk 6 games, but I bet he had, I'm going to make a guess. What would your over-under be for the number of pass attempts in 2016 for Jimmy G?
Oh, probably about 90.
All right, so you're saying potentially 2.5 games worth of passes. All right.
Yeah, it was probably a little more than that. Like, look at him.
He only started 2 games that year.
He only started
63 attempts.
63 attempts. So you're going around. Listen, love blinds, Jonas. Love blinds. I mean, the idea that somehow he was saying, if you just have 6 games, he had the best season. He had as many. There was quarterbacks that had more passes in one game than he had. And that is somehow what you're making the point. And then last season, when he was the franchise quarterback, the one time he was the franchise quarterback, let's dismiss that.
3 games.
How many pass attempts?
Probably more than
89.
Yes. I mean, this guy, love blind.
Let's just look at 2017. Wentz was like high 70s.
That's probably a good idea. Let's go back 2 years and say that's what matters.
All right.
Makes a ton of love blind. Guys, when you're betting, gals, when you're betting, hey, you're getting married, love blinds. Don't bet blind.
Straight out of Vegas!
Be sure to catch live editions of Straight Out of Vegas weekdays at 6 p.m. Eastern, 3 p.m. Pacific.
Guys, from one quarterback to another, this one not good news either, and that quarterback is none other than Andrew Luck of the Indianapolis Colts. His head coach, Frank Reich, said he would like to name a starter for the opening at the Chargers by the end of week 3 of the preseason, which is next weekend. Andrew Luck dealing with what they're calling a high ankle sprain in Indianapolis.
Now, the fact that Jonas, in my opinion, the best announcer when he plays that role. He does hours of talk by himself. I mean, he's got his critics on Twitter. But the fact of the matter is, this guy, multi-talented. But listen closely when Jonas says things, because he doesn't necessarily editorialize. But the way he presents it, I think is how he just said that. We don't believe what the NFL says. And to me, that's something at the Super Bowl, we were on Radio Row, pounding our fists. How isn't Gurley being reported fairly on the injury list? And everyone shrugs. This is a $1 million market. Speaking of the $1 million market, Fez, how is the market reacting to Luck's injury update?
The market is spooked. Vegas has taken all of the bets off the board. You cannot bet week 1 on the Colts, and you cannot bet on the Colts' season win right now.
So literally, they're saying by taking the season win off, hey, this could be more. Because if he was suspended for, let's say there was a 50% chance Luck would be suspended for the first game, they'd still have the season win up.
Yes.
They'd estimate, you know. Here they're saying this could be they're effectively saying this could be half a season. We don't know.
Yeah, they're saying we have no idea.
So to me, one, shouldn't we know, right? And I'll tell you this, the coach talking about, hey, we want to make a decision by this time means it's already in his head. It's uncertain who's going to start week 1 based on the injury. And now if we're going to say Cousins is injury prone, at what point are we going to start saying Andrew Luck's injury prone? Because Jonas's nemesis Colin Cowherd right here in FSR, I'm not sure who's higher on the HR chart, but
right.
Here's what I know is that Colin has not quite Jimmy G Fezzik level, but Colin likes Andrew Luck.
Yep.
Now, to me, if you look at that beard and everything, it feels like more of a pure football love with Andrew Luck. But again, not judging, is the idea that Colin has been putting forth is, oh, they didn't properly invest in the O-line. Now we've got the right GM in there. Look at this O-line. And, hey, Luck's not taking near as many hits. And just like the Steelers did with Big Ben, they really did make a big investment 5, 6, 7 years ago. Pouncey, and think of those draft choices. Gilbert in the second round. And it was a situation, and DeCastro in the first round. They made a big commitment to the O-line because they knew as Ben aged, he would need that. The Colts, I think, have done the same thing, and yet another injury that is so big, Vegas is saying, we can't even take a bet on the Colts on the season. There's so much uncertainty.
Straight out of Vegas!
Fox Sports Radio has the best sports talk lineup in the nation. Catch all of our shows at foxsportsradio.com. And within the iHeartRadio app, search FSR to listen live.